It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, just so everybody is prepared, this will probably be a shorter episode because weirdly, I have shit to do tonight and we had some technical difficulties leading up. So we'll figure it out. It's funny, actually, this is one downside of using Zoom. Well, using it on my slow-ass laptop. After we're done, it takes a really long time, like a half hour, to process the file before I can even put it into Audacity or YouTube or any of that. So nowadays, it takes me a lot longer to post the podcast after we're done. But like, I have plans like over an hour and a half away. We have to cut so I have enough time to process the file before those plans.
Right.
Anyway, this isn't what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you stuff that there's no way you know the answer to, because that's kind of how I like to roll this podcast. What the crap is Bikvarpi or Bikvarvi or something like that? It's a new prescription drug I'm seeing commercials for.
I don't know.
Here's why I'm asking. They don't tell you at all. I've seen two different commercials for Vardy, Harvey, whatever it is. And in both of them, there's a gentleman, two different gentlemen, who say one of those weird self-aggrandizing, like, any category you put me in, I'm not going to follow that. Or like, people say I'm down sometimes, but really there's no telling how high I can fly, you know, that kind of shit. And then they're like, ask your doctor if Bikvarpi is right for you and go to this website to see side effects and possible issues. At no point do they talk about what it's for. And I mean, they talk about erectile dysfunction medication. You know, they talk about birth control pills that will alter your period on commercials. So I can't figure out what is so sensitive that they've decided they're willing to just throw the name out. Because it's not going to work. I'm not going to ask my doctor if Vardy is right for me. Because I have no idea what it treats. And I don't just ask him like, okay, in the last 3 months, I have seen these commercials. So tell me if these are right for me. Like, it's like it's not even a real commercial at that point. Like, if you want to, next time you see your doctor, randomly ask if you should take this drug. You have no idea if it pertains to any medical conditions you have. But do it anyway.
I don't know.
It's dumbest. I mean, it's one thing just straight up to be like, you know, we're not going to talk about the side effects here, which, you know, because, you know, commercials you do, but they're shorter commercials. It's probably like a 15 second spot. So fine. Yeah, nothing. And I'm reading all this shit on the screen too. And it's got me, you know, the Latin name or whatever. It's actually just the name that those two ladies in Chicago make up or whatever. I don't know. There's like two women who make up all the drug names. But anyway, that's a whole different story. Like, and like how many milligrams and shit. But it, no place does it say what it's for.
I don't know.
I really want to know. If you know what Bikvarpi is for, tell us on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat. I guess the only podcast in the world that you should ask your doctor if it's right for you. See our website for side effects and possible life-threatening conditions. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 505.
505. Another variety of genes. Levi made 501s and 505s. I want to say there was another one, but yeah, there aren't just 501s. There's also 505s.
Yeah, I wear 550s.
I wondered if there was a 550. Hey, look, it's a producer!
There's a whole bunch of numbers.
Trish says there's a bunch of numbers.
Yeah, there are a bunch of numbers.
I thought 550 was one too, but I was like, am I just getting caught up in the fives? Anyway, for those of you joining us for the very first time, it's Magic in his own email address, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. Folks like yourself, cool people, write into that email address with themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com with little notes, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them and manifest physically with the hat. So we, as ergonomic servants, draw the questions out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them to a board, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the part it isn't, which is most of it.
Pretty good.
That's a record. I'm sure.
Probably is, yeah.
I had this dream that I was going to make a file where I explain it, and then I was going to speed it up, and then I was going to splice it in wherever that happened. Like, I got tired just telling you about it, so no way I'm going to put in the effort to actually do that.
Right.
Which is why we still have Sir Guido's intro and outro, which we've had for 405 episodes now. I haven't changed. If somebody wants to send us a new intro and outro, that's awesome. But we can't be arsed. Damn it. My grocery store also has my pharmacy. They got a great setup now where they automatically refill your stuff and they text you when it's ready for you. And this is very handy. But in the utmost of, you know, first world problems, they always manage to do it like a couple hours to a day after I was just there for my weekly visit.
Right.
On a separate thing this afternoon, I went and got one for Trish because she needs it by tomorrow. And I picked it up. And now I got a text saying there's one for me. My life is so difficult.
Yep.
How's your week been? Actually, before we get into that shit, you've been watching some Midnight Gospel, haven't you?
We watched one, yeah.
Oh, and then you decided you were out?
No. Well, I don't know. The thing is,
I mean, it's bizarre as fuck. So
we started watching The Crown, and we were already behind a season anyway, so that's been taking up a lot of time. But I mean, I can't say. I mean, it was interesting, the first episode of Midnight Gospel, but I can't say it impressed me that much. But that doesn't mean I won't watch more.
It's really bizarre. Only up to 4 episodes. I mean, a little goes a long way. You're never going to watch like 2 back to back.
Well, you're right. They obviously have conversation that they're just regular conversation, and then they somehow get the person to do like some acting. Apart from that.
My latest theory is that the guest comes back. Or it's a separate thing. They do an interview, has nothing to do with whatever wacky shit's happening in the cartoon. And then they build the cartoon and have the person come back in and just voice those bits. Because listening, it's discreet enough that it can be separate things. Like there's never a sentence in the interview that trails directly into a sentence about the situation.
Right.
At least not to the degree that you couldn't splice it. So that's my working theory now. What cracked me up is episode 4, there's a weird sort of villain near the end and talks very weird. Like almost has an accent, but not quite. And I was like, this sounds familiar. Who is this? I'm trying to place it and I can't. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I'll watch the end credits and I'll find out. But I'm like, also, I'm clearly on the wrong track because all I can think of is it kind of sounds like Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore is not involved in this and they're not bringing him in for one spot of the credits. Nope, Pauly Shore.
Really?
For some reason, yeah. I mean, a total of like 6 lines. But I'm Pauly Shore for it. Weird, weird stuff.
I mean, I gotta say that what's his name? The guy in the first episode that they interview, Drew. Did you say
Drew, Dr. Drew Pinsky?
Like, his voice acting is on point. I mean,
well, he started doing radio, so he knows how to get his voice in there. And he and Adam Carolla had a radio show called Love Line that was all relationship advice.
Oh.
And then that sort of made them famous, or made him famous too. Like, I don't know if Adam Carolla already was. And then he went on to do a bunch of celebrity rehab shit. So he's kind of terrible in the same way that like Dr. Phil is terrible. Although unlike Dr. Phil, I think he's an actual doctor. But yeah. I had thought that first conversation was more interesting to me than some of the others, which is funny because the topic was less interesting. That one, a lot of the others seem to get a little wool gathery, and that can be tricky. Just very strange. Are you watching The Crown also?
Yeah. The thing about The Crown, and you don't watch it?
Yeah. People keep asking me about this, and I'm like, I've never been interested in the royals, so a show loosely fictionalizing them. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure if Trish was like, I'm going to make you watch this, it'd be fine. I'm just not, I don't have any active interest.
I mean, yeah, it's about the royals, but there's a lot of kind of general stuff about British, you know, culture, you know? Which I think you would, it would interest you. It's also extremely well made. I mean, there are often these fantastic shots that they do, very good, strong composition and strong narrative in the shots that they choose. It's really amazing. And their scripts are really good. It's probably not very good history, but it's very good narrative. Drama.
I was talking with my sister, somehow we were talking about The Crown, and she, her husband watched, there's what, 4 seasons so far?
Yeah.
It's basically 2 casts. There's the young cast and then the older cast. So there's right. Claire Foy, Elizabeth, and then Olivia Colman, Elizabeth.
Right.
They apparently watched the first 2 seasons and then kind of left. It mostly came down to, they really liked that cast and they were sorry to see them go, but mostly they jumped to a point in history that they kind of already know what happens. So they decided they weren't interested. And I was like, I can get that. But yeah, we haven't watched that. I think Trish watched the first season with her sister a while back. You watching anything else?
I don't remember now. You know, they've just announced that Wonder Woman is gonna stay on Christmas, but
just about to talk to you about this,
also be released on HBO Max like the same day. So,
the same day, I am so excited about that.
Yeah,
I'm guessing you guys will still go to the theater.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I just talked to my family this week and we're not doing Thanksgiving because, you know, of everything going on and
everything's gone to hell.
And just 4 weeks to Christmas after that, it's like, is it really going to be better? And for all I know, the governor will close the theaters by then. So
only for 15 minute increments.
Well, whatever happens, I'm not anxious to see the movie for the first time on my television set, but I'm not going to watch it, you know, so.
Yeah.
I cannot say at this moment. Now, here's the thing. Patty Jenkins said that she's trying to get the studio to agree to a thing where, that thing I did when I went back to Des Moines to attend Empire Strikes Back, where my brother bought out the theater. I mean, you can't do that for every movie, just select ones. But Patty Jenkins wants people to be able to do that with Wonder Woman. So you can buy out the theater so that not only are you going to a safe, clean theater that hopefully has the air filtering and everything, but only the people in your pod or whatever it is are in the theater with you. So she wants that to be available. But I think Warner Brothers has, or AT&T or whoever, has to approve that for that to be a thing. If it is, Abby will totally do it. I don't know. I don't know who else. I mean, Abby would do it and then have just the two of us in there, honestly. I mean, and, you know, because we're talking, I think they told us that to do it for the theater back in Des Moines was like, I don't know, $150 or something.
That's it?
Yeah, like not very much.
Wow.
And you could invite 20 people.
Well, hell no. For $150, I'd do it for me and Trish, and that's it. That'd be
awesome. But yeah, I mean,
if I cared enough, I don't. We could not have a pandemic, and I would still be excited about being able to just watch it on my TV.
Well, Abby really wants to see it in the theater pretty badly, which I understand, and I do too. And again, the idea of seeing it for the first time on the television, just, I really don't like that idea. On the other hand, here's a for example, we're not doing Thanksgiving. If we decide we can't do Christmas either, well, I'm not gonna not have Christmas with my family, but go to a theater. That's just not gonna happen.
That would be a tricky one to rationalize.
Yeah, that's just not gonna happen. So, all right. So let's say if things are so bad I can't go home for Christmas, then they're so bad that I can't see Wonder Woman in theater. So then the next question is, well, will I wait for a month? Because it'll still be in the theaters after a month for sure. Will I just wait and not watch it while it's sitting there on HBO Max? No freaking way is that going to happen either. So,
yeah, and I'm going to spoil the shit out of it for you just immediately. So,
so yeah,
you better get on that.
As much as we might not like it, there's a really high probability that we'll just watch it on TV, and that's not the thing we want to do. That's not what we wanted. But we're not going to not watch it on TV if we're not going to go to the theater and see it. So I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I'm excited to.
I was gonna say. So, are you actually kind of disappointed that they're doing this?
I just don't know. I mean, there's part of me that's like, I'd sooner have no conflict at all because they moved it clear to June. On the other hand, it was supposed to play last year. Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year. It was this spring, I think.
Well, it was going to be in June, but they moved it to June 2020 from late 2019, like November or something.
Oh, okay.
So it was supposed to come out before 2020 even, but they moved it to June for some reason. And then, of course, that got messed up. So I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, though. Whatever happens, if we watch it on HBO Max, if it's as good as I think it's going to be, we're going to love it. We're going to be glad we got to see it. So it's, you know, not going to be that big a deal. Like you said, first world problems and all that. But yeah,
maybe you just need to buy a bigger TV before then.
You know, Abby like said that.
Theater size.
Abby actually said that she wants to buy a bigger TV so that if we have to watch it at home, it'll at least
be a good sound bar.
But another aspect of this is, and this really has no relevance to what we were just talking about, it's just a thing, is we wanted, the second movie to have a chance to be in the theaters and make like even more money than the first one made.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of cultural whatever. And of course, that's not going to happen now. So that's kind of sad. But
The people who made The New Mutants said something very similar.
Well, you know, the number of people who have signed up to HBO Max is not very impressive compared to like Disney Plus and stuff like that. So I think they're really hoping that they'll drive a lot of people to subscribe or whatever.
HBO Max is doing a lot of shit right now. I'm getting more excited about the fact that I have it. I mean, I got it accidentally because I had HBO.
Yeah,
I'm getting more and more excited. There's a movie coming out called Let Them All Talk, and Trish was intrigued because it's a movie with Meryl Streep, Candace Bergen, and Diane Wiest. So at that point, you don't really need to know what it's about. You just watch it. But what it is about is Meryl Streep's a famous author, and she's working on a new book. And so she decides to go write on a cruise. She invites two old friends that she kind of has lost touch with onto the ship as well, and her nephew, and they're all on there together. And Trish is like, this sounds really boring to me. I don't think I would watch it except for the cast. And I'm like, I love this. This is Golden Girls again. This is older women figuring out their life. I live for this. I don't know why I live for this, but I always have. My favorite thing is watching women above 50, basically, working their shit out on camera, you know? Golden Girls, Designing Women, admittedly, they were younger. I love that shit, so I'm super excited for that. Also, and I mean, this dates me and whatever, and Trish doesn't give a shit, so I'll watch it on my own. As of today, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion is on there. I'm very excited for that. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was extremely formative in my adolescence. I was just really at the right age and just enough of a white suburban boy to really be into that. Yeah, no. Only sitcom ever make me actually cry, and it happened twice. Love that show. Love that show. I don't know how well it holds up, but I loved it.
Never watched it.
Really? Never. I guess you're... Yeah, you're probably right in the age where, like, it just would never have happened for you.
I mean, I didn't even really have a television from, like, late 1987 to, like, late 1990, maybe early 2000, before I even had a TV I could watch stuff on. So pretty much through the 90s.
So the entirety of the 90s you saw no television?
Nope. All the 90s television that I've seen has been thanks to Netflix, really. So
I don't know how you function.
Why?
All I did was watch TV in the 90s. Well, I didn't even have freaking cable. So I don't even know all the like Nick shit and stuff like that everybody of my age does. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't see. I never, Clarissa never explained it all to me. Anything involving, you know, Disney Channel, young people, none of that. Hannah Montana's, none of that happened for me. But I was still just watching TV. I watched a lot of infomercials, watched a lot of episodes of Crystal Cathedral. Because it was the one day a week when that channel at that time did not have cartoons, and I didn't know what else to do with myself. Watched a lot of WWE back when it was called WWF. Yeah. TV raised me.
Well, I watched a lot of television in the 70s and 80s, but
not so you didn't even watch Next Gen when it was like for reals. You only watch Next Gen afterward.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, well,
there was a brief period of time when my first wife and I lived with Abby and her husband in an apartment, and they had a television, and we would watch Next Gen together. Okay. So I did see several, which ones we saw.
So Cosby Show, Cheers, Seinfeld, Friends, none of this.
Cosby Show and Cheers were on in the 80s.
I guess they did start in the 80s.
But Seinfeld and Friends, no. South Park. I did see the first season.
I didn't see South Park till college because, again, no cable.
Oh, yeah. The first, I did see the first season of Simpsons because I had a friend who had a television and he thought I would like it. So we watched it together, like the first season, and then that was it. Then my brother Scott would show me things, as you know, because there's that one time. Because
you would think that I showed them to you. Yes,
You talked to me about it, but you didn't. Scott showed it to me. Man, that was very weird when that happened. That was a rough day.
I mean, I'm sure other people have had different experiences, but to my knowledge, that is the only day in the workplace in my whole life where my boss gaslit me for an entire day.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I really thought that you and I had talked about it. I really thought so. And you knew that I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, you filled in details I didn't tell you. So you clearly had seen it. The problem is neither of us considered any other possibility.
Except that you told me I think,
or that you're in, like, that's the thing. One of us had to be crazy in our mind. Like, one of us had a break from reality. That was the only option. So that was a rough day, just all around. I'm like, have I, what, huh? How is this, huh?
Nope, it was me.
And then the next day, and oh man, I wanted to punch you in the face so hard. All day, I'm like, have I just lost my mind?
I just don't even know how I forgot. I don't know how I forgot that, but I did. And I don't know how I remembered either. Do you remember how I remembered that? You know what?
I think it was the next day you came back and like had remembered something, had jogged your memory. That's what I'm saying. Full day gaslighting.
That was a very weird experience.
I got no resolves that day because I was just too freaked out.
I mean, to explain to everybody, you would often come to my desk when we worked together. You would often come to my desk and you would talk to me about things, usually. And a lot of times it was Simpson episodes.
It was extremely similar to this podcast. I would just come by and tell you about media I had consumed.
Yeah.
The Simpsons was a lot of that.
So you were telling me about the Simpsons episode. And I said, you told me about this already. And you said, I couldn't have because I just saw it myself for the first time.
I have never seen this episode until last night.
And then, so then I started telling you about the episode back to you. And you were like, you couldn't possibly know this unless someone told you about it. And I said, you told me about it. And you said, I couldn't have told you about it because I have never seen it before. And that whole day, I was so certain that I only knew these details because you told me, and you were so certain that you couldn't have told me because you'd never seen it before.
And I mean, I might have put up a fight, but the idea that we had a conversation about it and I don't remember. Okay. I mean, you know, that is within my worldview. No, the idea that I knew this Simpsons episode and forgot it in its entirety, right. Impossible. My brain does not work that way.
So I guess the next day, somehow overnight, I remembered that I had actually seen it. But that's what's so weird about it, was because when we were talking about it, I didn't remember seeing it.
You were remembering it as though someone had told it to you.
Yeah, I remembered it as if someone told me about it. I did not remember like the actual images or whatever. You know, I didn't remember seeing it at all. So somewhere overnight, I must have started to remember like what the scenes actually looked like, you know, and then realized, well, I couldn't remember what the scenes were because that means that I wasn't told it. I saw it and I must have pieced it together.
No. When I told you about it, I discussed the shot composition in the cartoon.
So that's the weird part for me, is that I didn't remember it as someone who had seen it.
And I don't remember what episode it is, except I remember it was a Milhouse focused episode.
Yeah.
For some reason, I remember that much. It was heavily Milhouse.
God.
Which somehow is even more insulting. I don't know.
My brain is so stupid. I don't know why it does things like that, but I've been that way my whole life.
It's real.
I'll dream things that I'm sure are real, and I'll be talking to someone and they'll say, Bill, that didn't happen. Oh, okay. I would be a very easy person to gaslight because I mean I'm just
historically you have been. I've made bank off of you.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, my memory is so weird that way. But yeah, that was that's probably the weirdest thing. I'll never forget that because
that's the worst thing you've ever done to me.
Yeah, I don't. That's so weird. Whatever.
Let's talk by manner. Not too much. We're only halfway.
Oh, okay.
To give you perspective, we just watched the episode where we find out why Danny hates mirrors. I think we have watched 4 of the 9 episodes.
Have you read the book?
No, but I am rather familiar with it. I've seen other versions of it. I've read up on it. That I'm trying not to let my brain go that way too much because I remember how much Hill House did not match the original material. So I keep making assumptions based on my knowledge of Turn of the Screw that I'm like, don't necessarily go there. But it's been very hard to get into this. And other people should know if they have not watched it yet and they watched Hill House and they love Hill House. This is so not The Haunting of Hill House is completely different in one major, major straightforward way. It's not scary at all. Hill House was scary as fuck. In fact, Hill House didn't have a whole ton of plot. It just was really scary. It had some, had as much as it needed, but it was about being really fucking scary and like making it hard to go to sleep. My manner, not scary. Sad. My manner is very sad. Still well done. Still compelling it, especially for me. Trish is kind of pushing her way through. I don't think it's hooked her. It's got me. In fact, this last episode was very good because it really made me realize I enjoy the cast as an ensemble. 4 main adults and even the 2 kids when they're not being too weird, like make a good group. I like watching them hang out together. It is so different and I was not prepared for that. And so it's definitely taken me time to warm up to it. So for those of you out there who haven't done it yet, just be prepared for that. It's still good. It's not scary. It's a different thing.
I think it's pretty faithful to the book.
Is it? All right.
I think it is. I mean, take the book and then update it, you know, change it so that it's not set in the same time period, and you pretty much got this.
I do love that it's set in the 80s, though.
Yeah, there's a few differences.
An arbitrary pick, but it was fun.
I mean, the thing is, the Hill House is really nothing like the book. But they really
Hill House is like the book in the same way that the TV show Merlin is about Arthurian legend. Use the same names and that's it.
But this is very much like the story as far as I remember.
One could see that as being quite the spoiler you just gave me. But I will withhold judgment because it's entirely possible, but by the end I'll be like, you know what? You're full of shit. So
yeah,
we'll be curious. The acting's still phenomenal. The film craft is quite good. Now that we know what's going on after Hill House, we keep looking for background ghosts. I've seen more than Trish. Trish keeps trying to cheat. She's like, I saw that one. I'm like, yeah, that was not a background ghost. That was a ghost we were specifically supposed to see for this scene. Just because it's standing in the back doesn't count. I'm talking about ones that you like, you just don't even notice if you aren't paying attention. Absolutely in love with the little girl playing Flora. Really felt familiar, so I looked her up. She's only been in three things. One of them is this. The other two I've never heard of. So I clearly don't know her, but she feels very familiar to me. She's just perfectly splendid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely adorable. We watched. I don't know if this is that interesting in general because most of you won't. So Riverside Theater is doing a virtual season where you can stream the plays. And we bought a membership or whatever so that we can just do all of them. And the first one we missed. Part of it was you can't watch it on the TV. Like there's not an app or anything that would work. But recently, we successfully got the Chromecast to work on our TV. Now we can cast stuff to the screen. So last night we watched the second play of the season. Cast onto there. It was called Midnight Your Time. And it's a one-woman play. It's all Skype calls. The whole movie is her leaving Skype messages, mostly for her daughter, who is... woman's in London and her daughter is currently working and living in Palestine. And so it's mostly Skype messages to the daughter, occasionally Skype messages to other people, but and it was horrifying. I think it's probably really good. It's too real. It's a scathing indictment of empty nest level motherhood and sort of white liberal feminism in general, I think. But it bugs me because I'm like, oh God, every complaint that people in general have about mothers once they're adults is this woman. Apparently it's more specific than that because afterwards Trish is like, a lot of what she said reminded me of your mom. I wanted to be like, no, it's mom's issue. But then I thought about it. And I'm like, no, her mom would never have said any of that. I mean, her mom has her own issues, but I'm like, no, it was just very my mom, like on so many levels. And the constant, like, pressure to be in your world that parents with adult children can do. Then the constant like, oh, I'm pushing too hard, so I'm gonna pretend really transparently to be casual about it and say things about how I'm just happy whatever you do, then really get in your face about your decisions at the same time. So yeah, it was way too, I think it was very well done, but it was well, I told Trish I had a cheaty stomach ache through the whole thing. the entire play, but I'm excited I got it to work, because I missed the live theater, so that's fun. I'm still watching, I think I talked about it before, Diablero, which is it's a show about demon hunting that's set in Mexico City in its Spanish language. I'm really enjoying it because we finished up Hellstrom and Hellstrom was bad. People should not watch it, especially because from what we can tell, they were burning off a show they'd already made. It was invented back when Marvel Television was still a thing. Now it's not anymore. And so it might have gotten a second season if it had been phenomenally popular, but it is not popular. and so it was bad. Meanwhile, I'm watching Diablero, and it's very similar in some ways, but it's way better. I've realized this with a lot of these kind of shows. They take themselves too seriously. Diablero definitely does not take itself too seriously. And it's really good. Like, I mean, this is dark shit. We're fighting demons and things like that. But it's really good at not crossing my lines. There was a recent episode where someone got kidnapped and they were going to be tortured for information. And somebody had a blowtorch and they're walking. And I'm like, oh my God, am I going to have to stop watching this show? But as they were getting closer, the phone rang and they had to go answer the phone. And while they were gone, you know, I was like, oh, okay, good. We're fine then. I am enjoying that. So I would recommend if people out there go to Netflix, Diablero. I'm almost through the first season, which is 8 episodes. And then there's a second season of 6. From the look of things, it's recent enough. I suppose it could get more. But Netflix is pretty big on capping things at 2. So probably not. We watched, oh my God, we watched another Mandalorian. Second episode of season 2. And I can't remember. You've seen season 1, haven't you?
I think I've seen 2 episodes of it. I was over at someone's house and they showed it.
Oh, okay. Because I thought we had talked about, there's a bit in the first season where 3 X-Wing pilots on patrol fly by and like have a very small sort of cameo. And it was hilarious because the 3 involved were heavily involved. One was Dave Filoni, and the other 2 were also like producers involved or whatever. So that was kind of fun, Easter egg for people. Well, second episode of the second season, there's also 2 X-Wing pilots that show up and that kind of have a small role. And apparently one of them, again, is Dave Filoni. I wouldn't recognize him and save my life. The other one, I didn't realize until I looked it up later, is the guy, I don't know his name. His name is Korean, and I'm not even going to try and remember it or pronounce it. But he plays the dad on Kim's Convenience, the Canadian-Korean sitcom I've been telling you about, which we're still absolutely in love with. Everybody should be watching Kim's Convenience. It's a great, low-stakes, funny show. Highly recommend. We're obsessed. It's him, and apparently he's one of the biggest Star Wars fans ever, like huge. And so he gets this bit part thing, and they go in and they're setting up the costume, and he's correcting them on how to properly put on the pilot outfit. He's like, this buckle goes here, you actually got that wrong, this should be over this shoulder. And then I learned all this from a friend who read an article interviewing him about this. And then they're like, your helmet's not ready yet, so you can put this one on for the time being. And they give him a helmet and he looks at the markings and he's like, it's not Wedge Antilles, it's Darklighter, maybe? It's one of the famous X-Wing pilots. He's like, this is his helmet. I can tell this is his helmet because of this and that. And apparently it was just like one of the coolest things in his life, which is wonderful. But then on top of that, I'm like, this also proves he's an incredible actor, because the character he plays in Kim's Convenience could not be more different from this. None of this. So that's a fun sort of bit involved there. Yeah, well, that was good. I'm mostly killing a little bit of time because we haven't got time for questions. So I'm already going to make it short, so I didn't want to make it too short. Yeah, that's all I got, people. I'm sorry we don't have a question this week, but that's, you know, deal.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Jack. We're not going for Thanksgiving. We're not going for Christmas either, although I don't know that they've been officially told yet. If my mother-in-law is listening, sorry, but come on. We're not going for Thanksgiving. Trish still, the meal is very important to her. So we will be having a Thanksgiving meal with all the things that she wants.
Yeah, we will too. Just for
the two of us. And I think we've now set it up on the day. we're gonna doom with mother-in-law, father-in-law, and sister-in-law, and we're gonna like play games online and stuff.
Oh, that's
good that we'll at least be able to see them. Thing. So I don't talk well about ACT too often, and I should feel fine about this. I don't work there anymore, so whatever. ACT's doing a cool thing right now. So we're living in a pandemic, which is a problem for business. It has been a problem for ACT. That is largely why I don't got no job there no more. It also has meant, while they've had to let a bunch of people go, they've also had to push the remaining people hard as hell to get some shit done this year. There's some important things to like make sure, cover the loss of business and stuff like that. So everybody's been working their ass off. And since it's a pandemic and everybody's working their ass off, a lot of people have not been taking vacation like they normally would. And ECT is, I think, rightfully concerned other people are going to burn out. So they came up with recharge time. And what this is certain days, the rest of the calendar year, there are recharge days. And on those days, they're making it so that nobody has to be working. So that if you have PTO left, you can just take it then. And if you don't, they're still setting it up so like on those days, there's no meeting scheduled. And on those days, you're not required to have an immediate response to emails and stuff like that. You can just sort of work on the stuff you need to, which is awesome. The recharge days are essentially every Friday, plus the whole week of Thanksgiving, the whole week leading up to Christmas, and the whole week leading up to New Year's. And Trish has enough time. So what this means is, as of an hour ago, Trish now has 8 days off.
Wow.
So she'll be very big into all the cooking and stuff for Thanksgiving. She's also, we've come up with Christmas present ideas that are somewhat homemade. And she's going to be working on that a lot next week too. So, oh, I didn't tell you the biggest thing. Shit. Okay. I'm going to try and do this fast. No, I'm not going to the gym anymore. Day after we last podcasted, I was there and I'm like, it's really getting crowded. It makes me nervous.
Right.
And as I'm leaving, I get a text from the little old lady that was there with me, but hasn't been there because she's recovering from surgery. She said, me and the other little old lady have decided we're not going to go for a while because the coronavirus is so rampant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's true. That's even another good reason not to go right now. So I decided I'm not going. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I guess I'll walk. So that's what I've been trying to do this week. But I'm like, that's only going to last so long. It's going to get too cold. I'm talking about this with some friends online. And the video game nerd one is like, you know, you could buy a Nintendo Switch. And they have a game that's a fitness game. Apparently it's pretty cool. I was like, since I've been cleaning the house, I actually have the space that I could do that. Like, I don't really have the money myself. Like, you know, I have my personal spending money. I'm like, I don't think I have enough for that. And I bring it up to Trish, and Trish is like, well, I've really wanted to play Animal Crossing. So if you also get the Animal Crossing game, we can just call it a household expense. I was like, that's not appropriate. And then like 20 minutes later, I just did it. So we bought that, but I'm pissed. So this week I'm walking. Next week I'm going to start the other thing. And I bought the Ring Fit. It's called Ring Fit Adventure is what it's called, because it has this controller that's a ring. And they really do it as like you're fighting monsters and stuff while you're exercising. So hopefully it'll be very addictive in that sense. So I bought that separate. Then I buy a Switch bundled with Animal Crossing. So it costs more than a regular Switch, but you know, you get all the stuff and that's great. We get it, and the Switch showed up this week, like yesterday, I think. We open it up. It's cute. It's all Animal Crossing themed, and that's nice or whatever. I'm going to find out it doesn't have the game.
What?
It's just a Switch that costs extra money because it has been personalized to look all Animal Crossing-like.
Oh no.
I was pissed. So now we've spent another $50 on the game, which will show up on Saturday. So there's better work because we have spent a lot of money on this now. So yeah. Now we got a Nintendo Switch. So if y'all have Animal Crossing Islands, send the code, and when Trish starts playing, she'll come visit your island, water your flowers or whatever. Amble on your turnips. That's the thing now. Yeah, so I'm not going to the gym anymore. Still going to the store. I go real early on Monday, so there's almost no one there. I may stop that at some point. And, you know, I'll deliver for $5, so that's fine. I think that's all I got. We're past time here. I gotta get some shit done. So, everybody, we'll have a regular sized podcast next week. With questions and stuff like that.
Yes, 10th annual Thanksgiving episode.
Yes, it'll be our Thanksgiving episode. So it will have been recorded earlier or later if I figure out time travel between now and then.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.